الله وكفى والسلام وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. So we discussed the conditions of Sahih, and then we discussed the conditions of Hasan. And then we went on to discuss last week the if there is a compound terminology where the Sahih and the Hasan are joined together, then what does that mean? And the reason why we needed to discuss that terminology is because, especially Imam al-Tirmidhi, in fact, he's the only one who, there are others who do it, but he's the one that's famous for. He combines these terminologies, and inshallah, I will send you that. I got your message, Omar. I will send you that chapter straight after this lesson today, I promise. So,
inshallah.
So he discusses this, and the reason why he discusses this is because Hasan is, Hasan is lower than Sahih, and therefore to have both of them and say a hadith is Hasan Sahih is contradictory. It's either Sahih or it's either Hasan. It can't be both, right? Because they have contradictory. Then he went on to discuss what does Hasan Gharib mean. So now he's carrying on with the discussions of Sahih Hadith and Hasan Hadith. So let's go back to the definition of Sahih. A Sahih Hadith is something where five conditions are met. Okay. Out of these five conditions, three of them are wujudi. These conditions have to be found. And two of them are what are known as adami, that these things, there has to be an absence of those things. So the three things that have to be found is adalatul rawi, okay, the character of the rawi has to be morally upright, the dhabtul rawi, the precision of the scholarship, and ittisalus sanad, and the continuity of the chain. The two things that need to be absent in order for the hadith to be sahih is that there can't be any shaz, it can't be anomalous, and also there can't be any hidden defects. So these are the five conditions of the Sahih. When we go to the Hasan, in the Hasan Hadith, the Dabtul Rawi falls short. Okay, the Dabtul Rawi falls short in the Hasan, and whilst all the other four are intact. Okay. Now, so the Hasan and the Sahih are known as riwayat maqbula. These are riwayat which are accepted. Okay, so now he is going to discuss another topic that comes within Hasan and Sahih, is the addition of the Sahih Rawi, or the addition of the Hasan Rawi. Can, if they add something, then can we accept that addition? For example, let's say that Omar, I mentioned to you that the weather is not very, so can you please tell all of the other students in the class, we will not be joining, we will not be attending the picnic on Monday because the weather is not very good. Okay, so I've given you a task. So you go to all of the other students, let's say there are 20 other students, and you basically say, oh, Sheikh Mansour said that the picnic is cancelled because the weather is not very good. There's a storm coming. Yeah. Mm. So what did you do here, which is different from me?
I added something extra, which was not what you had said, the fact that the storm was coming.
Yeah, and the reality is that that's why I mentioned that, but I didn't tell you to, I just omitted that. You said that, yeah, so you added that from yourself. Yeah. So the question here is that what you basically said, should that be accepted or should that be rejected? What do you think?
Well, if I added it, then it's not originally part of your narration, right? But it's not contradicting the reason. But it's not your. So if we're going to say, is it your words? It's false to say that it's your words. But if we're going to say maybe this is the intention or the reason or an explanation of why, then it should be acceptable.
Yeah. So I mean, so now do you understand what ziyada means?
Yeah.
Yeah. As ziyada basically means that remember that the ahadith, majority of the ahadith are riwaya bil ma'na, they're paraphrased. It's not right, that right. people exactly transmit the words. Yeah. Or exactly transmitted right. the words. And remember, when we're talking about transmission again, I would like to iterate again, we are talking about the Asr al-Tadwin. We're not talking about now. So we are talking about the first right. kind of like 300 to 400 years. Yeah. Right. And people did not always have, so they had books, but people also narrated from memory. And also people may have paraphrase the hadith. So riwaya bil ma'ana is something that is accepted, because if we don't accept riwaya bil ma'ana, then we have to get rid of a lot of the hadith. So sometimes the rawi is conveying the meaning, okay, and rather than the actual words. And when he's conveying the meaning, he's making a judgmental decision as to second guess what the previous guy or the previous rawi meant, okay? And he may right. add something. So let's say in this class, I said, can you tell all of the other students that the picnic is cancelled tomorrow? So that's what I said. So then Omar, you go and you basically say that, the Sheikh said that the picnic is cancelled tomorrow because there is a storm coming. Yeah. And now Hussein basically contradicts you. And he basically says, well, actually, no, the Sheikh did say that the picnic is cancelled tomorrow, but it's not because of the weather, it's because he has a stomachache. Okay, you see, so second guessing can also be wrong. Yeah.
Right.
So in that case, because the fact that adding an addition to the original text, there is a 50-50 probability that the second guessing is right or wrong. Therefore, there has to be some kind of rules related to whether when somebody adds something extra, then right. whether we should accept that or not. How do we know that there is an addition there? That you know when you compare it with other people. So now let's say I said in the class that the picnic tomorrow is cancelled. There were 10 students, so can you please tell the students who were not here? There were 10 students mm-hmm. in the class who heard all of this. 9 of them said, Sheikh Mansour said, passed on the message on to the others. Sheikh Mansour said that the picnic tomorrow is cancelled. And they kind of transmitted that information exactly the way that I mentioned it. You went ahead and you basically said, Sheikh Mansour said that the picnic is cancelled tomorrow because the weather condition is bad. Now, how do we know that you added that extra bit? Because there were 9 other students who did not add that. So similarly, straight away we know that that's an addition from you. Now, that addition, should that be accepted from you or not? That's the case, that's the discussion here. So the ruling is that if you as a scholar, your position as a scholar is not in question. So you are a Sahih narrator or a Hassan narrator, and people have confidence in what you are saying, and whatever you are mentioning is not really, does not really change the actual message. So now, whether the picnic is cancelled because I have a stomachache or because my daughter's fallen ill, or because there's a weather warning tomorrow. That's irrelevant. So even though you mentioned that there is a, because of the storm coming, and in reality, there is a storm coming, even though I did not mention that, and even though in reality, that was not my intention, yeah, you know, I'm not going to do the class tomorrow because I'm not well, right? But you basically made a second guess, and you thought that because of the weather, we're in the park, and the park, that's where we do the picnic, and if the weather is bad, then... So you made that judgmental decision, but your addition does not actually take away from the original message. It doesn't contradict the original message in any way. Because the original message is to inform the people that the class is cancelled. Yeah.
Okay.
So whatever reason you give, it doesn't really contradict. Yeah. So
right.
So there's that type of message. There's a second one, which is that actually the addition that you are adding, that kind of contradicts the message of the others. Then there's the rules related to that. And then there's is kind of neutral. So do you understand what is happening here?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you understand what ziyada means?
Yes.
Okay. So it's an addition.
I've seen it before where you have like, you know, two or three hadiths, they're very similar. And then there's one, they say, you know, it's maybe a line longer, something else is added. And then, you know, it's not in the first two. Exactly.
Yep. So ziyada can happen either in the isnad, or it can happen in the matan. And Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani will give examples of both of them. Yeah. Okay. So now let's read the text. وَزِيَادَةُ رَاوِيهِمَا. The ziyada of the narrators of these two types, i.e. of Sahih and Hassan. So the scholars of Hadith, the narrators who are of the level of Sahih and Hassan, if they were to make an addition in the hadith, that is maqbula, it is accepted with condition. It is not, so some people say, generally accepted, end of story. It doesn't matter if it contradicts others or not. Generally accepted. Some people say it is generally rejected, right, from the outset. But Imam Ibn Hajar, and this is the most dominant opinion, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani says that the dominant opinion of the ulama of hadith is no. We don't say we accept everything. We say we accept, but it's a conditional offer, right? So what is the condition? مَا لَمْ تَقَعْ مُنَافِيَةً لِرِوَايَةِ مَنْ هُوَ أَوْثَقُ مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَذْكُرْ تِلْكَ الزِّيَادَةَ. Right? As long as that ziyada, that addition, that extra piece of information does not go against the riwaya of man huwa authaq, a stronger authaq, a stronger narrator who has not made that addition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first condition, that the ziyada cannot go against the narration of a narrator who is more stronger. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we have a narration by a Hassan Rawi, a Rawi who is Hassan. And the Hassan Rawis, in the isnad of the Hassan Rawi, there is an addition, which in the isnad of the Sahih Rawi, there isn't that addition. Okay, that addition by the Hassan Rawi will be rejected because the Sahih narrator is more stronger than the Hassan narrator, and the Sahih narrator or narrators did not make that addition. Yeah. Okay, so the Awthaq, the one who is stronger, does not have that addition. Therefore, here the addition will be rejected. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Essentially, yes. We're saying the Hasan narrator made a mistake by adding the narrator. Yeah. Or
Now if we have the opposite, let's say there are the opposite. Let's say we have a Sahih narrator and we have three Hasan narrators, right? Mm-hmm. The Sahih narrator has an addition, but the Hasan narrators don't have an addition, right? So the Sahih narrator's addition will be accepted. Alongside the narration of the Hassan, because the Sahih narrator is more scrupulous, and therefore if he is adding an addition, that should be accepted. Does that make sense?
Yes. Even if there's multiple Hassan narrators, the multiplicity doesn't change things here. Okay.
No. So now if there is multiplicity of Sahih narrators and they're all of the same level. And nine of them are basically not making an addition, and one of them is, here the multiplicity will make a difference. Okay, as long as there are. So this is why Imam Ibn Hajar later on, he is going to use the terminology arjah rather than awthaq. Right? Arjah is more rajih because. It's Raji because out of the 10 Sahih narrators, 9 of them narrated without an addition and 1 of them narrated with addition. All of them are Sahih, but 9 Sahih narrators are saying there's no addition and 1 Sahih narrator is saying there is an addition. Therefore, we will reject the addition.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if there is a difference in the category, then the one who is more thiqa matters. But if the categories are exactly the same, then numbers kick in. Does that make sense?
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense.
So he says, لِأَنَّ الزِّيَادَ Because the ziyada, إِمَّا أَن تَكُونَ لَا تَنَافِي بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ رِوَايَةِ مَنْ لَمْ يَذْكُرُهَا Because the ziyada either does not contradict la tanafiya, does not contradict between the ziyada and the riwaya that does not mention the ziyada. فَهَذِهِ تُقَبَلُ مُطْلَقًا This is accepted mutlaqan. لِأَنَّهَا فِي حُكْمِ الْحَدِيثِ الْمُسْتَقِيلِ الَّذِي يَنْفَرِدُ بِهِ الثِّقَى وَلَا يَرْوِيهِ عَنْ شَيْخِهِ غَيْرُهُ This is seen as independent hadith which this fiqa has narrated and no one else has narrated from the sheikh, right? So let's take our example. 10 of you are in the class. And I basically say that tomorrow's picnic in the park is cancelled. Yeah? Mm. You, Umar, please pass the message on to the others who are not there. You, Umar, what you do is you mention to all the others who are not in the class that Sheikh Mansur said tomorrow's picnic is cancelled because there is a storm coming.
Right.
Now, we need to check that your addition, there is a storm coming. Does it contradict the original hukum or not? So we've got 9 students who basically transmitted that Sheikh Mansur said tomorrow's picnic is cancelled, and you alone said tomorrow's picnic is cancelled because there is a storm coming. Now, on the basis of probability, your ziyada should be rejected because there are 9 colleagues of yours who are exactly on the same level and they haven't you know, narrated that. So on the basis of probability, your one should be rejected. However, before rejecting, before going to numbers, we go to the meaning. And we basically say that we look at the addition. Does that addition take away anything from the hadith? Does it contradict the message of the others? Now, it doesn't, because the message still remains intact. That is, that the picnic is canceled tomorrow. So in that situation, we will deem that there are, we will deem that to be an independent hadith or independent statement. So it will basically be like, I'm saying to everyone, tomorrow's picnic is canceled. Please pass on in the park, please pass the message on to everyone else. And then I basically say, so it's like saying, Omar, can you please stay behind? And you stayed behind and nobody else was in the class. And I say, because there is a storm coming. So that's a message that I gave to you independently. So here the two versions would be treated as two hadiths because there isn't a contradiction. Yeah, there isn't a contradiction between them.
Right? Got it.
Does that make sense? But whether there is a contradiction between them or not, that in itself is an interpretive factor. We will basically show later that there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ju'ilat lana al-ardu, ju'ilat lana al-ardu masjidan wa tuhura." Right? That the entire earth has been made for my ummah a place to pray on and a source of purification, i.e. doing tayammum. In one version of the hadith, it says, "Ju'ilat lana al-ardu masjida wa turbatuha tahura." The entire earth has been made a place of worship and its soil has been made a source of purification. Now, does the adding of turbatuha, does that contradict the hadith that doesn't have the addition, or does it not contradict? So sometimes there is a difference of opinion as to whether there is a contradiction happening or not. Right? We will deal with the hadith when we get there. Does that make sense? So that's the first step, is that there isn't a contradiction between the message. In that sense, if the thiqa is doing a ziyada, then we don't need to kind of assess against the others. We'll just basically say that's a different hadith. Yeah? وَإِمَّا أَن تَكُونَ مُنَافِيَةً بِحَيْثُ يَلْزَمْ مِنْ قُبُولِهَا رَدُّ الرِّوَايَةِ الْأُخْرَى فَهَذِهِ يَقَعُ التَّرْجِيحُ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ مُعَارِضِهَا فَيُقْبَلُ الرَّاجِحُ وَيُرَدُّ الْمَرْجُوحُ. Oh, there is a contradiction between them. In the sense that if we يَلْزَمُ مِنْ قُبُولِهَا, by accepting that ziyada, we will have to reject the other riwayat which doesn't have the ziyada. فَهَذِهِ الَّتِي يَقَعُ التَّرْجِيحُ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ مُعَارَضِهَا. This is the one where there is tarjih. We need to find a murajih, tarjih. We need to find a preponderance. Where this one or its opposite, which one should be given privilege? فَيُقَبَلُ الرَّاجِحُ وَيُرَدُّ الْمَرْجُوحُ. The rajih should be accepted and the marjuh should be rejected. Does that make sense?
Yes. So if there's
if there is a contradiction between them, then we need to basically make a judgment as to which one we accept and which one we reject. There, we are going to go into the looking at the status of the riwayah and status of the rawi and awthaq and arjah and all of that, and then we're going to come to a judgment about that. Yeah?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so to use the analogy, would you? So let's say I say to you, to everyone in the class, 10 people in the class, please go and pass on the message to everyone that tomorrow's picnic in the park is cancelled. And you are one of the weaker students in the class, right? So you go and pass on the message that tomorrow's a picnic in the class, in the park is cancelled. However, if and then you add, however, if the weather is good, it's still on. Yeah. So this is an addition that you put on from yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Now you are, so here the message is contradictory, because here you're basically making it conditional that there is a probability, there is a possibility that the picnic is still on. Whereas the message that the other 9 students gave, they basically said that absolutely the picnic is off.
Right.
So your message is slightly contradictory to the original message. Okay. So your ziyada, if you're a weak student, then your ziyada will be rejected. Right. If you are a strong student, then we will basically check. If the other students are equally strong as yours, and there's 9 of them, then your ziyada will be also rejected because there are more arjah, because of statistical probability, right?
Right.
If there were only, if all of the other students were low grade students and you are the kind of star student, then your one will be accepted and the others will be rejected. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Let's move on. وَاشْتَهَرَ عَنْ جَمْعِ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ الْقَوْلُ بِقَبُولِ الزِّيَادَةِ مُطْلَقًا مِنْ غَيْرِ تَفْصِيلٍ. So this is iterating what I said. It is mashhur, it is famous, it is famously known from a group of ulama, the opinion that ziyada, that the addition of the thiqa is to be accepted without any conditions, mutlaqan, without any conditions, min ghayri tafsilin, and without any explanation. Right? When we see a thiqa rawi making an addition in hadith, we just accept it with our eyes closed. ولا يتأتى ذلك على طريق المحدثين الذين يشترطون في الصحيح ألا يكون شاذا. This is not the way of the muhaddithun. So he's critiquing the opinion. So this is not the opinion and the manhaj. يتأتى بذلك means do not come. This does not come from the point of view of the muhaddithun. This is not the opinion of the muhaddithun who make it a condition for the sahih ألا يكون شاذا, that the Sahih Hadith cannot be Shaz. Yeah. So, because if the Ziyada of the Thiqa is Marjuh, even though the person is a Thiqa Rawi, but because his narration is contradicting other Thiqa Ruat, despite the fact that he is Thiqa, his narration will be rejected. Okay, so it's like 10 people saying that the picnic is 9 people are saying that the picnic is cancelled, they're all reliable, and you are saying that the picnic is cancelled with the condition that the weather is bad, because if the weather is good, then the picnic is back on again. Even though you are thiqa, you are outnumbered.
Right.
You are outnumbered, and therefore we will have to reject yours, because you might be thiqa, but your opinion here is not accepted. It is shaz. It is anomalous. It is different from everybody else. Does that make sense?
Yes. Whose opinion is it when he says ishtahar? Who is that? The opinion of the fuqaha, or who is he talking about?
So we will have to go to the. I mean, I will have to give you the hadith scholars, There are some hadith scholars, Imam al-Sakhawi mentioned them, like Ibn Khuzaymah and others, who basically say it should be accepted straight away. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
He doesn't give us the names of these scholars, but like Sakhawi and others do, but he gives us the names of the scholars who are agreeing with the opinion that he is mentioning. Yeah. So, وَلَا يَتَأْتَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى طَرِيقِ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرِتُونَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ أَلَّا يَكُونَ الشَّاذًا ثُمَّ يُفَسِّرُونَ. So then what is shaz then? ثُمَّ يُفَسِّرُونَ الشُّذُوز بِمُخَالَفِتِ الثِّقَةِ مَنْ هُوَ أَوْثَقُ مِنْ. And the definition of shuzuz is the mukhalafa, the contradiction of the thiqa, of those rawi who are more thiqa than him. So then Imam Ibn Hajar says, وَالْعَجْبُ مِمَّنْ غَفَلَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ مَعَ اِعْتِرَافِهِ بِإِشْتِرَاتِ اِنْتِفَاءِ الشُّزُوزِ فِي حَدِّ الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ وَكَذَا الْحَسَنِ. He says, it is surprising that ulama have forgotten this. Despite the fact, despite the fact that they confirm that the condition of the Sahih Hadith is the absence of any anomaly, and similarly, that's the condition of the Hasan Hadith, that over there, they confirm that in order for a Hadith to be Sahih or Hasan, there has to be the absence of anomaly. They mention that there, but when it comes to ziyadu al-thiqa, they forget their own condition. So he's basically saying that there is a dissonance between the definition of sahih and hasan that they are giving and their discussion on ziyadu al-thiqa. For those who basically say that ziyadu al-thiqa is mutlaqan accepted. Because how can ziyadu al-thiqa mutlaqan be accepted if there is an awthaq or an arjah who is contradicting the ziyada of the thiqa? And we have already mentioned, and these people themselves accept, that a sahih hadith is that one which is free from any kind of anomaly. And if the ziyada to thiqa is being contradicted by people who are more awthaq, that ziyada to thiqa is an anomaly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Have you understood the critique?
Yeah, it's a very good argument that he's making. He's basically saying, yeah, they're not implementing their own methodology that, you know, because it's basically, I guess the question is, well, what's the difference between a ziyada and a hadith by itself when you add something, right?
Yeah. So if I was to kind of just iterate that again, where have I gone? Okay, if I was to iterate that again, no. These people say that ziyada mutlaqan is accepted. Imam Ibn Hajar says this is incorrect. Why? It is because it is possible that a rabi who is thiqa has a ziyada, but there are more thiqa rabi who don't have that ziyada. And by accepting that ziyada, we are on this number two here, this number two, that if we accept the ziyada, then that contradicts the hadith, the hadith that does not have that ziyada. But it's the more thiqa rawi who don't have the ziyada, therefore, the non-ziyada riwayah should be accepted, and the ziyada riwayah is anomalous. And we have said that the sahih hadith is that one which is free from anomaly. So these people have given lip service by saying that the sahih hadith is the one that's is free from anomaly, but here they forget to apply their own methodology. Does that make sense? So he says, yes. وَالْعَجْبُ مِمَّنْ أَخْفَلَ ذَلِكَ. So then he says, وَالْمَنْقُولُ, so he's giving his دليل, وَالْمَنْقُولُ عَنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْحَدِيثِ الْمُتَقَدِّمِينَ. It is narrated, transmitted from the earlier hadith scholars. So he's going back to the earlier hadith scholars to show that his position is rooted in the tradition. Yeah? كعبد الرحمن بن مهدي ويحيى القتان وأحمد بن حنبل ويحيى بن معين وعلي بن المديني. These are all, you know, from the teachers of Imam al-Bukhari. Yeah.
Right.
Not يحيى بن قطان. يحيى بن قطان is from the teachers of عبد الرحمن. But عبد الرحمن مهدي, أحمد بن حنبل, علي بن المديني, يحيى بن معين. These are all Imam Bukhari's teacher. يحيى بن سعيد القطان is one generation before them. والبخاري وأبو زرعة وأبي حاتم والنسائي والدار قطني. So Bukhari, Abu Zur'a, Abu Hatim, Al-Nasai, they're of the same level. Dar Qutni is later. Yeah. So if we were to categorize these people, Yahya ibn Qattan is the earliest. Then comes Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Ali ibn al-Madini in the second stage. Then comes Bukhari, Abu Zur'a, Abu Hatim, Al-Nasai in the third. And then Ad-Dar Qutni is the fourth. وغيرهم and others. اعتبار الترجيح فيما يتعلق بالزيادة وغيرها. ولا يعرف عن أحد منهم إطلاق قبول الزيادة. Says all of them consider ترجيح, meaning that privileging one over the other when it comes to the question of زيادة. It is not ولا يعرف. It is not known from any of these scholars. Yeah, it is not known from any of these scholars, but they have accepted the ziyada of the rawi mutlaqan without any condition. So right. Learn the names of these people, right? Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, Yahya ibn al-Qattan, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Ali ibn al-Madini, 5. Bukhari, Abu Zur'a, Abu Hatim, Nasa'i, Darqutni. These 10 people are known as A'immatul Jarh wa Ta'dil. Their opinions matter when it comes to Jarh and Ta'dil. So if they say something and Imam Tirmidhi says something, then or Imam Abu Dawud says something, then their words will be taken more. As a generic. As generic. Yeah? Because they are known as A'imma Jarh and Ta'dil. وأعجب من ذلك إطلاق كثير من الشافعية القول بقبول زيادة الثقة. And then he's basically critiquing his own Shafi'i scholars. Yeah, maybe scholars who are from his own time, who are attributing this opinion to Imam al-Shafi'i. That Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi accept ziyadat al-thiqa mutlaqan, irrelevant of, you know, he doesn't even look at whether there's tarjih there or whether there's mukhalafa there or not. He just accepts it. He's basically saying that this is ajib. Why? Because if we look at these Shafi'iyas claiming that Imam Shafi'i says this, but if we go to Imam Shafi'i's actual work, then we find that Imam Shafi'i also accept ziyadat al-thiqa conditionally and not mutlaqan. Does that make sense?
Yes.
وَأَعْجَبُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ إِطْلَاقُ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الشَّافِعِيَّةِ الْقَوْلِ بِقَبُولِ زِيَادَةِ الثِّقَةِ. It is more surprising than the above that some of the Shafi'iyas say that that Imam al-Shafi'i unconditionally accepts the ziyadat al-thiqa. مع أن نص الشافعي يدل على غير ذلك. Right? And the reality is مع أن and the reality is that the Imam al-Shafi'i's own texts indicates the opposite. فإنه قال في أثناء كلامه على ما يعتبر به حال الراوي في الضبط. In his discussion of discussion of what should be considered when we are looking at the precision, the dhabt of a rawi, he said, Imam Shafi said, in the Risala. So in the Risala, Imam Shafi is discussing what should be considered when we talk about adalat al-rawi, what should be considered as dhabt al-rawi. So in his discussion of dhabt al-rawi, he said the same thing. وَيَكُونَ إِذَا شَرِكَ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْحُفَّاذِ لَمْ يُخَالِفُهُ. One of the dhabt is that this rawi that we're talking about is joining other huffaz who have not gone against him, right? So how do we know that a person's dhabt and his position is intact? Is because his riwayat joins and conforms with the riwayat of other huffaz, right? It's the same. That's what he's saying. فَإِنْ خَالَفَهُ. If other huffaz oppose his narration, فَوُجِدَ حَدِيثُهُ أَنْقَصْ كَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ صِحَّةِ مَخْرَجِ حَدِيثِهِ وَمَتَى خَالَفَ مَا وَصَفْتُ أَضَرَّ ذَلِكَ بِحَدِيثِهِ. انتهى كلامه. ومقتضاه أنه إذا خالف فوجد حديثه أزيد أضرّ ذلك بحديثه. Right. So he's saying, فَإِنْ خَالَفَهُ. If they do mukhalafat of him, فَوُجِدَ حَدِيثُهُ أَنْقَصْ, and his hadith is shorter than the people who do mukhalafa of him, كَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ سِخَّةِ مَخْرَجِ حَدِيثِهِ. This is a dalil that his hadith is sahih. وَمَتَى خَالَفَ مَا وَصَفْتُ أَدَرَّ ذَلِكَ بِحَدِيثِهِ. And when the مُخَالَفَةِ is different to what I have narrated above, this affects his hadith, meaning that the حُفَّاظ have narrated it ناقص, and this person has narrated it with a ziyada, and this ziyada is affecting the hadith. Right, but the point here is that Imam al-Shafi'i is discussing here that there is a time when a rawi may do mukhalafa and he may add something, and that addition will have an impact on whether his hadith should be accepted or not. Does that make sense? So this ibara is quite clear that Imam Shafi'i does not accept this mukhalafa. Because ziyada is mukhalafa, right? But the mukhalafa can be non-problematic, or can be problematic. So Imam Shafi'i does not accept the mukhalafa mutlaqan, but he basically says as long as there is, you know, if it's adar, that basically means that he is accepting it conditionally. Intaha kalamu. Wa muqtadahu annahu idha khalafa. And what that means is that if the rawi that we're discussing, if he is doing mukhalafat, فَوُجِدَ حَدِيثُ أَزْيَدَ, and his hadith is longer because there is a ziyada in there, أَدَرَّ ذَلِكَ بِحَدِيثِهِ, and that harms his hadith, فَدَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ زِيَادَةَ الْعَدْلِ. This basically is dalil that the addition of a morally upright narrator according to Imam Shafi, la yalzam qabulaha mutlaqan, does not necessarily mean that he accepts that narration mutlaqan unconditionally. Wa innama tuqbalu min al-huffazi fa innahu i'tabara an yakuna hadha al-mukhalif anqas min hadith man khalafahu min al-huffaz. So this is the same thing. It will be accepted from the huffaz. So the non-ziyada will be accepted. So from here we can understand فَإِنَّهُ اِعْتَبَرَ, that, so he's repeating the same thing differently, that Imam al-Shafi'i considers أَيَّكُونَ حَدِيثُ هَذَا الْمُخَالِفِ أَنْقَصْ مِنْ حَدِيثِ مَنْ خَالَفَهُ مِنَ, that he considers the hadith of this مُخَالِف is shorter than the hadith of the people who he has done mukhalafa of. وَجَعَلَ نُقْصَانَ هَذَا الرَّاوِ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ دَلِيلًا عَلَىٰ صِحَتِ, and this نُقْصَان is a dalil of the siha. لِأَنَّهُ يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ تَحَرِّيهِ, because this shortness of the isnad is a dalil that this person is a scrupulous scholar. وَجَعْلَ مَا عَدَى ذَلِكَ مُضِرًا لِحَدِيثِهِ. And whatever is beyond that, he deems that to be harmful to the hadith. فَدَخَلَتْ فِيهِ زِيَادَةِ. So ziyada is also subsumed within that. فَلَوْ كَانَتْ عِنْدَهُ مَقْبُولًا مُطْلَقًا لَمْ تَكُنْ مُضِرًا بِحَدِيثِ صَحِبِهَا. And if according to Imam Shafi'i, this was mutlaqan accepted, then there wouldn't have been any harm done to his hadith by, with his companions. All of this ibara here, this is sometimes why I find Imam Ibn Hajar kind of in condite. All of this, yeah, all of this here, what Imam Ibn Hajar said is exactly the same as what he just said in those few words. They're just repeating exactly what he said, but in different words. Right? Does that make sense? So don't get confused.
Okay.
There is really nothing extra that he's saying other than basically what he's already said. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's exactly the same thing that he's saying here. فَإِنْ خُولِفَ بِأَرْجَحَ مِنْهُ. Okay, so remember I said that it's not only about thiqa, but he's going to mention the term arjah. Yeah? فَإِنْ خُولِفَ بِأَرْجَحَ مِنْهُ. So what is arjah? More rajih. If the mukhalifat is based on somebody more rajih. What is rajih? So he explains rajih لِمَزِيدِ ضَبْطٍ, because the rajih is that the rawi who is doing the so there's two people. One is the person that you're discussing, and then the person that your interlocutor. So we'll say rawi A is your interlocutor, and then rawi B is the one who rawi A is doing mukhalafa of. Now, فَإِنْ خُولِفَ بِأَرْجَحَ. If the أرجح راوي is doing مُخَالَفَ, and how is it أرجح? Because the راوي B is more precise than your man, than your راوي. So that's one interpretation of راجح. أو كَثْرَةِ عَدَدٍ. Or that راوي B, there's 10 of them and your man is only one. So these are all arjah. So did you see when we said that not only is it awthaq, but so here we can basically say that this is talking about awthaq. Awthaq, because this person is more, but here this is more rajih, because there's more numbers. Okay? But so he's explained, so it's not only about the quality of the narrator, but also the quantity of the narrator if they are of the same level. Does that make sense?
Yes.
أو غير ذلك من وجوه الترجيحات, or some other kind of reasons for ترجيح. So for example, your riwayat that you're looking at has a ziyada, but the other hadith is kind of mutawatir or something, and it doesn't have a ziyada. So there can be more than other wujuh of tarjihat. But the rajih hadith is called mahfuz. This is the hadith which is preserved. Wa muqabiluhu wa huwa al-murjuh. And opposite that, which is the one which is not rajih, is called shaz. This is the anomaly, shaz. Wa mithalu dhalika. So we've got two riwayat, right? The riwayats are contradictory in the sense that one of them has a ziyada and one of them does not have the ziyada. The one that will come on top, right, as far as the strength is concerned or the number of people is concerned, irrelevant of whether it's the one with the ziyada or the one without the ziyada, right? As long as it's, it's rajih, then that is called mahfuz. And the one that is not rajih, that is called shaz. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So, if I was to give you an example in the Isnad, right. Can you see my screen? Can you see the screen? Omar?
Yes. Sorry, I was on mute. Yes.
Okay. This is a ziyada in the isnad. Okay. Haddathana Muhammad. So I'm reading from here. Can you see what I'm writing? Reading from here. حدثنا محمد بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا آدم بن إياس قال حدثنا شيبان أبو معاوية قال حدثنا عبد الملك بن عمير عن أبي سلمة بن عبد الرحمن عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ساعة لا يخرج فيها ولا يلقوا فيها أحد. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went out of the house at a time where people normally don't get out of the house, and normally people don't come to meet him. So maybe it was like extreme heat, you know, right at noontime where people are taking the siesta, the qailula. And then the Prophet says in the hadith, the Prophet says, I saw Abu Bakr, and then saw Umar, and the Prophet said, what are you doing? And they said, we're feeling a bit hungry, we don't have food. And the Prophet said, I'm a bit hungry as well. So let's go to the house of Haytham ibn Tayhan al-Ansari. He's a rich guy and he's got food in his house. Let's go and ask. So that's the hadith. So this hadith is in Tirmizi, and Imam Tirmizi says, Haza hadithun hasanun sahihun gharibun. This is a hasan sahih gharib hadith. In Tirmizi, we have the same hadith with a different isnad, where Imam Tirmizi says, Haddasana Salih ibn Abdullah, qala haddasana Abu Awana, an Abdul Malik ibn Umair, an Abi Salama ibn Abdul Rahman, anna Rasulullah ism kharaja yawman wa Abu Bakr wa Umar. So in the hadith, the madar of the isnad, these two isnads, they pivot around Abdul Malik ibn Umair. Yeah? Abdul Malik ibn Umair is where both the isnads join up to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Both the isnads join up to Abdul Malik ibn Umair. But in the first isnad, which is by, we'll call it the isnad of Shayban, Abu Muawiyah, because Shayban Abu Muawiyah is narrating for Abdul Malik. So in the isnad of Shayban Abu Muawiyah, right? So know how we identify isnads, right? We identify isnads by looking at the common narrator. The common narrator in both of these isnads is Abdul Malik ibn Umair. He is right. The lowest common denominator. So we can basically say that we can refer to this hadith as the hadith of Abdul Malik ibn Umair, because he's the common narrator. However, we want to show our difference between the two isnads. So if we say the hadith of Abdul Malik ibn Umair, that difference, we cannot show the difference. So we need to go to the students, right? Because in both of the isnads, there's Abdul Malik ibn Umair. So we go to the students and we basically say, well, there are two people narrating from Abdul Malik ibn Umair. One is Shayban Abu Muawiyah, and the other one is in the second isnad, Abu Awana. So therefore, now we will call, to show the difference between the isnads, we will call the first isnad the isnad or the hadith of Shayban Abu Muawiyah, and the second isnad as hadith of Abu Awana. So straight away, we know which isnad we're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's how you identify isnads. Yeah? So if you look at the isnad of Shayban Abu Awana, you will see Shayban Abu Awana's isnad is what we called marfu' an Abi Hurairata radiyallahu ta'ala nu qala kharaj an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we go to the second isnad, which is the isnad of Abu Awana, we see that Abu Salama ibn Abdul Rahman, is missing. And then Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, who is missing, Abu Salama, who's a tabi'i, says straight away, Anna Rasulullah sallam kharaja yawman wa Abu Bakr wa Umar. Yeah. So this hadith, this isnad is mursal.
Right, yeah? You're right.
This isnad is mursal. Imam Tirmizi says, now in the second part of the isnad, second isnad, look at the yellow bit. Imam, in the second isnad, just 1 minute, Omar, Zaid, come here, please. Come here, please. The cat's gone out. Right, so he says, فَذَكَرَ نَحْوَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ means that he mentioned, take your sandals, please. فَذَكَرَ نَحْوَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ he mentioned the same hadith as the one above. وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ فِيهِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةِ Yeah, and in this isnad, he did not mention Abu Huraira. وحديث الشيبان See, Imam Tirmizi is saying حديث الشيبان He's trying to draw our attention to the differences between the two isnads. That's why he's calling it حديث الشيبان وحديث الشيبان أتم من حديث أبو عوانة So do you understand? So it's the same hadith but remember in the beginning of the class in the first class I basically said that sometimes when we want to draw attention to particular features of the isnad we call them we refer to it as a hadith of so-and-so Right. So Imam Tirmizi says, وحديث الشيبان أتم من حديث أبو عوانة وأطول.
Right.
The hadith of Shayban is more complete because it goes to Abu Huraira and then the Prophet, and it's atwal. It's longer.
Right.
Right. So it's longer, and therefore, in a case, there is a ziyada there.
Right.
Whereas in the second isnad, it's got one extra bit of information, which is Abu Huraira is there. In the second is that's not there.
Right.
Which one do we judge? Which one do we think actually is the correct version? See, the hadith, the matan is exactly the same, right? It's the version. Which version do we think is exactly the correct one? Is the hadith marfu' or is the hadith mursal?
Yeah. Mm.
So Imam al-Tirmizi says, وَالشَّيْبَانْ ثِقَةٌ عِنْدَهُمْ صَاحِبُ كِتَابٍ So he's basically saying that Shayban is thiqa according to them. صَاحِبُ كِتَابٍ he had, صَاحِبُ كِتَابٍ doesn't mean that he's the owner of a book. It basically means he had his hadiths written down. That's what صَاحِبُ كِتَابٍ means.
Interesting. Right?
He's not relying from his memory. He had it written down. Therefore, he's saying, first of all, he's thiqa. He's a more stronger narrator. Secondly, he has books where he's written his notes down. And therefore, we should trust him over Abu Awana, who is not Sahibu Kitab. He's basically saying from his memory. And therefore, we concede that this hadith is marfu' rather than mursal.
Interesting.
And therefore, the marfu' hadith is what we call mahfuz, and this one, the mursal one, is shaz. Right? Now, the reality here is, what difference does it make as far as their hadith is concerned? It doesn't make a difference at all. Yeah? It does not make a difference because the wording of the hadith is exactly the same.
Right.
It does not make a difference at all. The only difference is from the point of view of sana'at al-hadithiyya, that this is a part of the discipline. And remember what I mentioned to you, if I was, I got a builder to, come and, build a room for me in my house. Mm-hmm. Now, he's drilling the doors and he's drilling the, stud walls and things like that. It does not really matter to me if he uses a hammer drill to do that or if he uses an impact drill to do that.
Right.
Me as a consumer and as a customer want my work to be done.
Right. Yeah?
And my builder will give me the end product. It does not matter whether he used a hammer drill to screw the screws or whether he used an impact drill to drill the screws. Yeah.
Right.
Because the end product is the same. However, if this builder was a student, and he was doing this project, and he gave me the project. He took on the project for cheap because he was a student, and he was being assessed by an examiner because he's doing his college degree on building, and he was being assessed by an examiner. Mm-hmm. And the examiner is, this is his final exam, and the examiner is going to either pass him or fail him. Then this student needs to know when to use a hammer drill and when to use an impact drill.
If
he is using the drills in the wrong places, it will be a fail as far as the examination is concerned. It will be a fail as far as the examination is concerned. It doesn't really matter to the end product will be that the room is built. But we will say that if he's using the wrong drill, this person does not actually know his craft properly.
Right.
So within the craft, examiners can examine and basically say, no, he's failed because he actually used the wrong drill. Because here, it does not really matter because the room is being built. But in other places, it does matter because there might be detrimental effect. For example, if I was to give an example, this very chair that I'm using, sitting on, the very first time that I discovered an impact drill, and I was so fascinated by it, and I'm not a builder, leg of this chair became weak, so I decided to screw it back on using the impact drill. I did not realize the pressure and the strength of an impact drill, and when I drilled it, I actually bore right through the chair and I broke the chair. That's a fail. So then I had to fix it afterwards, but I learned it the hard way. My point here is sometimes these discussions have no bearing on the end product as far as your average Muslim is concerned, but it has a bearing on the craft and on the discipline. Does that make sense? Is a situation where it doesn't have any bearing on the average Muslim, but a Hadith scholar and within the craft and discipline will be able to assess whether you actually know your stuff or not. Right. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay, so we will look at Imam Ibn Hajar. So that was another example I gave you. We will look at Ibn Hajar's example next week, inshallah. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, Sheikh.
Okay, barakallahu feek. I will see you next week.
Inshallah.
Do you have any questions, by the way?
Next week I want to ask about what if the Ziyadi comes from the Sahabi level, but not this week. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. Because sometimes you see that where one Sahabi reports something and then another Sahabi reports a hadith and has more words or something added. So I want to learn about that too.
Okay, inshallah.
Inshallah. Salam.
Take care. Salam.
You too. Bye-bye.